Hi, I'm Femi Oke. You're watching The Stream. Today we're talking about the metaverse. And if you're thinking, meta what? Let me give you a little idea of what it looks like. Take a look at this video. Think of the metaverse as a future internet experience where you can immerse yourself fully in the platform. Now, the technology to create this experience is still being developed. So now is a really good time to ask, how safe will it be for users? That is a conversation that we are going to have with Kavya, Sam and Imran. Thank you so much for being part of today's show. Kavya, will you introduce yourself to our international audience? Tell them who you are, what you do.
Thanks, Femi. I'm Kavya Perlman. I'm the founder and CEO of XR Safety Initiative. It's a global nonprofit based in San Francisco. Our mission is to help build safety and inclusion in XR ecosystems. And now we have a word for it, aka the metaverse.
Oh, very nice. Hello, Sam. Good to have you on board. Please introduce yourself to our stream viewers, please.
Thanks for having me, too. I'm Samantha G. Wolf. I am the founder of Pitchford, and I'm an adjunct professor at NYU. I focus on marketing and brand strategy for emerging technologies with sort of a even narrower focus on technologies related to the metaverse.
Mm-hmm. Good to have you. And hello, Imran. Please introduce yourself to our global audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi, my name is Imran Ahmed. I'm chief executive of the Center for Countering Digital Hate, based in Washington, D.C. We're a nonprofit that looks at the harms that are being created in digital spaces and tries to find ways to counter them, in part by exposure, in part by trying to get the right legislation in place.
All right, guests, I'm going to give you one sentence. You can use it how you want to use it to tell our audience a little bit more about the metaverse, what it is, what it will be, what it would look like, what it looks like right now. Kavya, how will you use that sentence? Go ahead.
So if I were to think about metaverse, I would say it is the interconnected virtual worlds. At some point, it will be in its full effect. What we are seeing right now is sort of like the foundation of these virtual worlds being laid out. We would have interoperability, persistence, presence, all that fun stuff, and then we'll be able to move across these different virtual worlds, and then we'll see the full effect of the metaverse come true.
A brilliant but very long sentence. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
What is your brief description of the metaverse for our audience?
Brief description is nearly impossible when it comes to the metaverse.
Mm, good
I do
point.
Like thinking of it as sort of a culmination of all these emerging technologies coming together. We're on the verge of what you would call the fourth industrial revolution. Mm. Which, you know, the first was sort of steam and water power. You get railroads and the most recent one was the internet. And so this is the next one that's coming. And part of the reason, I mean, how would you describe the internet when it was first launching? It was nearly impossible. So we're on the verge of yet another revolution.
Imran, what would you like to add?
Well, I think just a simple explainer for people that aren't immersed in tech all day is that it's just a different way of experiencing 3D environments like your kids might play on Call of Duty or you might play on Call of Duty mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of navigating it using a virtual reality headset that goes over your eyes. So you're experiencing it as you move your eyes, move your head, you're able to see inside that environment instead of using a controller or a mouse. And it comes with all the pros and cons of 3D environments on digital spaces. So we all know that if you play Call of Duty, you'll often hear terrible things. You know, you'll hear racism, you'll hear misogyny. Imagine experiencing that now in full 3D, being able to see the person saying it. That's what the metaverse is.
I actually disagree when it comes to VR only. That tends to be one of the mistakes people make. It's actually going to be a combination of both virtual reality and augmented reality. So it's not just going into virtual worlds, but going into the real world and experiencing sort of overlays on top of it wherever you go. So right now, there are more virtual reality headsets out there than the augmented reality glasses that are coming and being used in the enterprise space. But you have to think of it as both in the combination of that with all these other emerging technologies.
So, guests, I am going to allow our audience to get in on the conversation. If you're watching on YouTube right now, the comment section is right here. You've got questions and comments. Please join us in today's discussion. I'm just curious, Kavya, as to this moment right now. What you, Imran, and Sam have been describing is parts of the internet, parts of experiences that we've been able to have in the past. It's not just happening this year or the last 2 years. So this idea of the metaverse, it feels really buzzy right now. It's like, oh, this is going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years. Why? Why has it come back as such a big thing, certainly as far as tech companies are concerned, big and small?
So, Faye, I remember speaking with Laurie Segal at 60 Minutes, and she asked me in April 2021, is the metaverse real? And to that I said, whether it's real or not, we better get ready for it. Because, you know, at XRSI, we had been observing this sort of evolution of technology. And then in October 2021, last year, when Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, now called Meta, changed the name, announced that they want to be the metaverse company, it really just sort of exploded. It drove tremendous VCs to look at it as a, you know, market opportunity. And just, you know, marketing folks just to search engine optimize to get the clicks everywhere you see. Every article pretty much, at least where I'm sitting in the Valley, is like everyone's talking about the metaverse and what's coming. So it's become this sort of a hype word. Prior to that October scene, the graph of this word, even in the marketing platform, was this. But then suddenly it just, it's been quite explosive since then.
But also some of it is the Zoom. Like people are just sort of getting Zoom and Skype fatigue. And I think a lot of people are just saying, what's next? What's going to happen? Mm. And this kind of interaction that is beyond just the 2D screen. I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's nice to look forward to sort of a new way of interacting.
What? I don't know. I mean, perhaps Zoom fatigue's actually leading to people wanting to spend time with each other in person again. I'm not quite convinced that our big lesson from 2 years of being stuck on screens is that actually I'd like those screens to be even closer to my eyes and for the interaction that I might enjoy in real life to be completely virtual.
Yes, can I make another suggestion, if I may? Let me just jump in for a moment. This suggestion comes from Gavin Menicini. He is from an Austin, Texas company called Immersed. This is his take as to why the technology is being developed so quickly for the metaverse. This is what he had to say earlier.
COVID happened, and obviously COVID was COVID and was terrible, but it ended up being a silver lining for Immersed because our idea went from being a crazy, futuristic 2028 kind of idea to, oh wait, everyone in the world is now working from home, and they're looking for ways to stay productive. They're looking for ways to collaborate now that they can't meet in office, and Immersed made a lot of sense now as we're going to be that tech bridge to be a better tech bridge than Zoom or Slack or video conferencing and chat softwares.
Sam?
Yeah, no, this was, I couldn't have said it better myself. I do think that, yes, there is definitely this sort of need for interpersonal interaction in the real world. I think that, you know, probably one of the second most likely words to be being used beyond metaverse within sort of the AR, VR circles is this idea of presence and what AR and VR brings you a sense of presence that you are with somebody, that somebody is in the room, even if it might be virtual. And so that, at least within the community that has VR headsets and can sort of do this, it was amazing to see all these, you know, all of my friends and colleagues and feel like I was with them, even though I couldn't be at a conference or couldn't be at a meetup. And so it really, you know, I'm already a fan, but it made me even more of a fan of what's to come.
So
I'd have to agree with you, Sam, actually, because I remember during the pandemic, I was feeling so isolated. And it really comforted me. And Imran, I know you may not like the idea. I'm also kind of a skeptic when it comes to technology. But I was able to connect with new friends. And believe it or not, one of the friends that I made during the pandemic in VR, I took a trip to Europe during that little window when, you know, Omicron was not still on the rise. And I actually met this friend in Berlin. So what I feel like is you can really make real connection real, you know, you can even conduct real commerce. You know, back in the days, I was the head of security for the oldest existing virtual platform called Second Life. Even though it's 2D, it has this component of connecting with people, creating new things, exchanging virtual goods, a full-fledged economy
that
caveat, I was protecting.
So Kavya, Sam and Imran, I hear the debate about it, is this a good way to connect or not? But really what I want to think about for the metaverse is the risk and the safety. Imran, if I may, can I play some video from the Center for Countering Digital Hate? You know what this video is, but it brings up some issues that you and your team have seen with the metaverse. I'm going to play the video, then go straight to you. Let's take a look.
Open standards, privacy, and safety need to be built into the metaverse from day one. You really want to emphasize these principles from the start.
Imran, what you didn't tell us in the video, can you tell us now? What did your team see and what's given you concern when they spent time in the metaverse?
At a really simple level, virtual reality headsets are becoming increasingly popular, not least because of the gaming opportunities that they give young people. And just before Christmas, Mark Zuckerberg said, the reason why we're talking about the metaverse is that the metaverse is Facebook, which is now called Meta's branded sort of adventure into virtual reality. And they started by buying the Oculus headset technology, and they've been slowly building that up. And they now think they're at a point where they're saying, actually, this is the next big thing for us. So we decided to check whether or not Mark Zuckerberg's announcement that the metaverse, he told parents before Christmas, as you saw in that privacy and safety are built in from moment one in our new metaverse. We thought, well, why don't we check out the beta version of the metaverse, the Oculus Quest headset, and see what the safety and privacy features look like. And it turns out it's not great. In terms of safety, the stuff that we saw on there, and I will go into that in a second, we weren't even able to report it on the headset. The app reporting mechanism is broken. We went to the website to try and report it. It was problematic there. We submitted the reports. There was no feedback whatsoever. I personally sent the 100 videos that we found of abuse happening. We managed to record all of this to Monica Bicker, who's the global head of trust and security at Facebook. And we didn't get a response from her, despite the fact there was, and this is what we found, grooming of young people. There was exposure of young people to hardcore pornography. There was kids being abused and bullied. There was an unbelievably frequent number of uses of the N-word, of people. There was one particular part where a young kid was being encouraged, a 12-year-old was being encouraged to use the N-word, and then you hear him saying it in a child's voice. And, that is chilling. So, these are problems that I know the question being posed, you know, at the bottom of the screen is some of the problems we have in real life are going virtual with us. In the real world, if you were to walk around as one person did in the metaverse shouting the N-word repeatedly for minutes and minutes and minutes, you'd be kicked out of the pub that you're in. You'd be told that you're
actually
not welcome
Imran,
in the workplace that you're in.
The strangest thing is
it's allowed there.
In fact, one of the crews showed me a viral video, and somebody had used the N-word, and the person who'd used the N-word, let's just say they regretted it immensely. Like, there was an instant reaction, and it was a reaction that probably that person will never say that N-word again. So that's real life. Let me go to YouTube, because I've got some really interesting comments here. Fouad says, harassment-free, that's impossible. People are going to harass even more. Sam, you're nodding. Go ahead, just very briefly, because I'm going to do this speedily to get as many comments in as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was one thing that we didn't anticipate when it came to the internet, is exactly how dark the internet can get. And I think that that's where we, you know, where eyes were open in that way. And they can be as we go into this new form of technology and interaction. And I think you can innovate and moderate and mitigate all at the same time. And you don't have to necessarily just believe one or the other.
Caviar, Twixter says on YouTube, it's pretty much inevitable that trolling and harassment is by no means a new concept. In this kind of digital environment, it's impossible to ensure its complete security and safety for users, especially kids. It's impossible, is it? Caviar, go first, and Imran, you pick up off the back of Caviar.
So it's, I wouldn't say it is entirely impossible. It would have to depend from a use case perspective. So yes, it would be impossible where you are having a completely social, virtual, open to everybody experience. But let's say if you're in a classroom setting where you are only allowing authenticated individuals, or if you're in a work setting, then it is absolutely possible to moderate it. And the idea that we have to understand here is the accountability. Whose responsibility is it to moderate? And once we have this, you know, shared responsibility, it is possible. But it definitely depends on, you know, what kind of a context are we looking at.
Imran, go ahead.
Well, on a closed platform like Metaverse and Meta's Horizon Worlds, which is their premier application, or any of the other apps on their platform, quite clearly the rules are set by those companies, and they themselves receive the reports of harms being created on there, and they then lay out the enforcement. Now, funnily enough, Meta has a real opportunity here to set the norms of behavior on these platforms, because people have to buy an expensive headset. And what they don't want is for that headset to be essentially what's called bricked, so just turned off from access to their services, mm-hmm. because that person has broken the rules. Now, just imagine a situation where if someone decides to walk around for 5 minutes in an open area and just shout the N-word repeatedly, they were told that their headset would no longer be usable. That's a very powerful way of starting to set some of the norms of behavior, the social mores, as we call it in sociology, that of those platforms, but we don't. Why not? Because this is a high investment area. Facebook have decided, they've designated this as an enormous, as a major investment priority. And what you're now seeing, of course, is as we did with social media and other spaces, you're seeing an enormous number of consultants of the wider economy that are very excited by this monetary opportunity to make money out of VR. And that's what Meta want to do with this. They're not doing it for the good of humanity. They're not doing it for surgeons or for classrooms. They're doing it because they think there's a mass advertising opportunity. They'll have billions of people in VR that they can advertise to. I think that actually there's been a real failure of imagination on how enforcement and the setting of norms can happen on those
Thank
platforms.
I think that thinking of VR and AR is just being a social platform is really underselling the possibilities of it. It is, in my class at NYU last year, I taught the business of AR and VR, and we covered over 22 industries. I had over 50 guests, and you know, social VR can be almost set apart from the rest of those sort of enterprise applications. I also, you know, you have to remember, again, this is not just VR. This is VR. This is AR. You have to pay attention to what Niantic is doing, what NVIDIA is doing, even Roblox, even though it's not necessarily, an AR and VR application, they've had to manage, you know, hundreds of millions of children and working the platform, and they're not perfect at it, but boy, are they, they're not getting the kind of responses that, you know, the Meta Facebook are. So I don't want to discount the potential of the metaverse and all the underlying technologies and say we shouldn't do this because there may be things that will go wrong. Of course there are things could go wrong. That happens,
you know, Sam,
with any new technology.
Sam, so I agree with you, but I also agree with Imran. And then I want to throw a word of caution. So I agree there is going to be a lot of use cases. But then, you know, what Imran, you're suggesting that, you know, Meta has this opportunity to potentially regulate or just like kind of monitor the system and then proactively introduce what you're sort of considering sort of safety by design or maybe disabling something because the audio said the N-word or based on the behavior. And if you really think about it, they have now expanded to many, like over, like they're crossing quite a huge number with respect to Horizon World. And they introduce a trust and safety mechanism that utilizes artificial intelligence, a contextualized AI that will literally observe you while you are interacting. So the kind of mechanism you're proposing, it will have to be traded off with your privacy. So in a way, we create this sort of a prison panopticon scenario where every prisoner is being observed, and that changes the behavior of the person. So there is a little bit of a dilemma in automating trust and safety in that sense,
Imran, go ahead.
At a really simple level, if someone's doing something bad, you should be able to report it easily. So with Meta's Oculus, if let's say my friend had an Oculus Quest, if I was to put it on my head, it would automatically log me in as them. It's so simple to use. They want you to get into it, and they want you to spend time there. Now, if you try and report something, it took my team, who are all very, very bright and have been doing this for a long time to work out exactly how to resolve the VR chat name with their actual Oculus name and their Facebook ID, and they could do that in only 51% of the actual instances. And then it's really, really difficult to report. So there should be effective reporting of breaches of the rules. There should be clear rules stated at the beginning. People should know what the community standards are. And I mean, you talk about a panopticon. Panopticon is just what we say is that's AI driven. And I'm not sure exactly how that works or if it's even feasible in reality. What is feasible is if bad things happen, people should be able to report them. Then there should be some rules. And if people break the rules, there should be a consequence for them. And that, to me, I mean, you use words like panopticon, which immediately to me as a liberal, that induces a sense of, gosh, I don't want to have a prison in which all can see all at all times, that there is an overlord, a leviathan watching at all times saying, thou shalt and thou shalt not. But we should be able to set those social standards. And right. I'm afraid that we don't have it at the moment. And part of the reason is because Facebook, and you know, one of the real questions here is, of course, you've got the use cases for all these industrial uses, education, surgery, other types of technology, engineering. However, this is about Facebook because this is the metaverse. And people don't trust Mark Zuckerberg to babysit their kids because he's terrible at it. He's got form.
All right, let me just bring in another voice. This is Omni. And Omni is a founder and CEO of the Sexual Violence Prevention Association. This is still developing technology. And this is what Omni says about the metaverse.
Meta and Microsoft have released new safety features, but there is still a long way to go to end sexual harassment in virtual reality. Many of the existing safety features and protocols are ineffective or unenforced. This casts doubt on the new safety measures. Further, the new safety measures focus on touching and personal space, but sexual harassment can be perpetrated in many other ways. Meta and Microsoft must develop safety features to prevent and address all forms of sexual violence, including verbal abuse, physical threats, virtual assault, stalking, and pedophilia. With these new safety measures, Meta and Microsoft are taking a small step in the right direction, but far more is needed to eradicate sexual harassment in virtual reality.
I have to say, guest, you've really started quite a conversation online. Twixter says this is an exciting concept, although Twixter is a little bit concerned about safety for users. And then Akhil says there is another option. How about you don't use it? The guests are like, okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to say thank you to Kavya, to Sam and to Imran. We have so much more to talk about. What I hope is the developers, big tech and little tech, are also having these vibrant conversations, because that way, then when we're all using an excellent metaverse that is very immersive and exciting and safe, it's because of the conversations that we've had today. All right. Thank you so much for being part of today's show. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.
say the thank you. Not used to it. Sorry that I said thank you. I'm still not